Well, good morning. It is October 25th, 2021, and welcome to our daily Bible reading. Today we're going to be pressing on through the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 3, Daniel chapter 10, and then we're going to start Psalm 119, longest chapter in the entire Bible, longest psalm, and we're going to do the first 24 verses there. So if you have your Bibles, grab them, and let's get in the Word today. 2 Kings chapter 6. Now the son of the prophets said to Elisha, "See, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, and each of us get there a log, and let us make a place for us to dwell there." Then he answered, "Go." Then one of the servants said, "Please, be pleased to go with your servant." And he answered, "I will go." And so he went with them. And when they had come to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." And then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And when he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. And he said, "Take it up." And so he reached out his hand and took it. And once, when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servant, saying, "At such and such a place shall be my camp." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there." And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him, and thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, no king but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." And he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him." And it was told him, "Behold, he is in Dothan." And so he sent there horses and chariots and great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servants of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army and horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And he said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And so Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes, that he may see." And so the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, "Please strike this people with blindness." And so he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he led them to Samaria. And as soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And so the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And as soon as the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I strike them down? Shall I strike them down?" And he answered, "You shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And so he prepared for them a great feast. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. And the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel. And afterwards, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, mustered his entire army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria as they besieged it, until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of a dove's dung for 5 shekels of silver. Now, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help, help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord will not help you, how shall I help you?" And from the threshing floor, or from the wine press. And the king answered her and said, "What is your trouble?" And she answered, "The woman said, 'Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' And so we boiled my son and ate him. And on the next day I said to her, 'Give your son that you may eat him.' But she has hidden her son." And when the king heard the words of the woman, he tore his clothes. Now he was passing by on the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth beneath on his body. And he said, "May God do so to me, and more also, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today." And Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. Now the king had dispatched a man from the presence, but before the messenger arrived, Elisha said to the elders, "Do you see how this murderer has sent to take off my head? Look, when the messengers come, shut the door and hold the door fast against him. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him?" And while he was still speaking, the messenger came down to him and said, "The trouble is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" That was 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's move on over to the New Testament. We'll pick up in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. And therefore an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Then wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. And let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves, and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. And I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and a buttress of the truth. And great indeed we confess is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up into glory. And that's the end of chapter 3. Let's move on over to Daniel. We're going to read Daniel chapter 10 this morning. Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict. And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. And on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is, the Tigris, I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. And his body was like beryl, his face was like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. And so I was left alone and saw the great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. And then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, "O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright. And now I have been sent to you." And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. And then he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before God, your words have been heard, yet I have come because of your words. And the prince of the kings of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come." And when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face towards the ground and was mute. And behold, one of the likeness of the children of men touched my lips. And then I opened my mouth and spoke, and I said to him who stood before me, "O my Lord, my reason of the vision pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me." Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, "O man greatly loved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage." And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? But now I have returned to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I tell you what is inscribed in the book of the truth. There is none who contends by my side except against these, except Michael, your prince. That was Daniel chapter 10. Let's move on over to begin the longest chapter, the longest psalm, Psalm 119. We're going to read Psalm 119, verses 1 to 24 this morning, 1 to 24. Just a quick note. I made this note. I usually don't make notes about Scripture while I'm doing the Scripture reading, but you'll notice that it says, your Bibles may say Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Daleth. It might say them in words, or there actually may be a Hebrew letter there. Those are actually in the Bible, and that's the reason why I am reading them. There are little notations put there by the scribe to kind of indicate different parts of Psalm 119 because it's so large, kind of like chapters within chapters, if you will. So just so that you know why I'm reading those. So they are in the Bible. Psalm 119, Aleph. Blessed are those whose ways is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes, and then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Bait. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimony I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes and I will not forget your word. Gimel, deal bountifully with your servant that I might live and give your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandment from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Well, amen. That was our reading today for October 25th, 2021. Thank you for joining me. God bless you today. Stay in the Word, and Lord willing, I will see you tomorrow morning bright and early. Bye now.